Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Snuffles supported Independent Tech News Directly for 5 years. You can too. Be like Snuffles. Become a DTNS member at patreon.com/DTNS. Snuffles is really what they signed up as. This is the Daily Tech News for Friday, May 31st, 2019 in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Feline, I'm Sarah Lane.
The only place I'd rather be more than here is the Galaxy's Edge. I'm Len Peralta.
Speaking of edges, I'm on the edge of the L.A. County Empire. My name is Roger Chang, the show's producer.
And joining us today from Comedy Film Nerds, Chris Mancini back on the show. How's it going, Chris?
Oh, it's going great. Great to be here.
Well, Chris, you got to go into Galaxy's Edge, the new Disneyland experience, and there's a lot of technology in there, I guess.
It's amazing, and not everything was even online. But what I saw was like next level, next generation theme park for sure.
We're going to talk to Chris about that a little bit later in the show. Let's start with a few tech things you should know.
Uber's first earnings report since going public reported an adjusted $2.26 per share on revenue of $2.76 billion, in line with analysts' expectations. Uber reported a net operating loss of $1.01 billion. Overall revenue rose 20% on the year, with ride-hailing revenue growing at 9% and Uber Eats rising 89%.
That's me. Sorry about that. BlackBerry Messenger has ceased operations as of Friday. It is survived by BBM Enterprise, now available for personal use on Android, iOS, Windows, and Mac. So poor little out for BlackBerry Messenger.
Google-owned DeepMind is now focusing on multiplayer games. In a paper published by Science, DeepMind researchers explained how they designed an AI system that was able to master capture the flag mode in Quake 3 by using AI agents playing with or against human opponents. DeepMind used data from 450,000 rounds of capture the flag, totaling 4 years of gameplay completed over just several weeks.
And Gao Feng, a spokesman for China's Commerce Ministry, announced the ministry will create an entity list of its own of unreliable companies in China that don't follow market rules, violate contracts, or block, cut off supply for non-commercial reasons, or severely damage the legitimate interests of Chinese companies, as well as posing a risk to national security. The government would take necessary measures against those on the list, with further details promised soon. All right, let's talk a little bit more about Amazon, kind of a part two of yesterday's T-Mobile Sprint merger story.
Exactly. Reuters sources say that Amazon is interested in acquiring the prepaid virtual carrier Boost Mobile. Boost is currently owned by Sprint, which recently committed to spinning off the service into an independent company as part of its merger plan with T-Mobile. Amazon is reportedly interested in Boost because then it would have access to the post-merger T-Mobile network for 6 years. The company is also reportedly interested in acquiring any spectrum rights divested as part of the merger. Potential bidders informed Reuters that Boost Mobile could cost up to $3 billion, which Amazon can afford.
Yesterday, we talked about how T-Mobile and Sprint might get approval for their merger from the Department of Justice if they could help create a fourth competitor for the merged entity.
Isn't that the same price they paid for the Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, to Amazon, they're like, oh, you know, Lord of the Rings series, or create our own phone network. Not a big deal. So the question yesterday was, why would Sprint and T-Mobile do this? But the reason is to get the merger, and this would be a way to make some money by selling a little bit of spectrum to Amazon, giving Boost Mobile, which is not a carrier-independent network. It uses the Sprint network right now, and it would use the combined network of T-Mobile and Sprint afterwards, but it would allow Amazon to develop it. I guess the question is, do we want Amazon to get into yet another business where our data is flowing.
It makes sense that Amazon would want to try this. Amazon famously tries all sorts of things. Not everything is as successful as some of its most successful ventures. But in many cases it is. I was following the story this morning on Twitter, and there are a few people who were sort of like, why would Amazon have to go through this process, right? If Amazon wants to get into wireless networks, do they need something like the Boost network? I understand that, you know, you got your 6 years and everything, but it's like it's almost as if Amazon could take another track and do this from scratch.
This is actually a pretty easy way to do it, though. You just buy an existing MVNO and boom, you've got a network. You start signing people up while you build out your own infrastructure that you have more control over. So why not? Like, as Chris pointed out, for the price of a Lord of the Rings series, boom, you got yourself a network.
Chris, the thing about Amazon, too, is they're already in the house. You know, the call is coming from inside the house.
Right, I mean,
everyone has like Amazon accounts. And, as everything becomes more and more almost like under one umbrella, you know, it kind of makes sense that these companies are, you know, one company is doing literally retail, content, and, you know, mobile communications. It kind of makes sense not in a great way because of competition, but you can see why, like, all right, well, we're in this. Why don't we get into this? Because they cross-pollinate.
And Batfriend in our chat room points out that Amazon uses LTE-enabled Kindles, and they used to run on the Sprint network. I don't know if the current ones do or not, but that would be another piece of synergy there, you know, that they wouldn't have to worry about. Foursquare's first acquisition ever is Placed. Placed, which it bought from Snap, SNAP. Terms weren't disclosed, but Placed.
Are these made up companies or are these real?
Snap is actually Snapchat's founder.
They're real.
They're for sure real. Apparently, Placed is real as well. Terms weren't disclosed, but Placed founder and CEO David Shim will become president of Foursquare after this. Placed was previously Foursquare's biggest competitor, letting brands track the physical impact of a digital campaign or ad. Foursquare's competing product called Attribution will now be known as Placed, powered by Foursquare. So they're just merging them together. Foursquare CEO Jeff Gleck said, "We believe location should only be shared when consumers can see real value and visible benefits driven by location. We remain dedicated to elevating the industry through respect for transparency, user control, and instituting layers of privacy safeguards." So in other words, as we get bigger and better at tracking where you actually are while you're using your apps, don't get creeped out, please.
You know, the funny thing about Foursquare, and
that's a better tagline, by the way.
It really is, yeah. The funny thing is that, you know, there's so much worry these days about, the apps are tracking you and you don't know it and blah, blah, blah. Foursquare and Swarm and various products within the company are built on you willingly saying, I'm here right now. I'm going here right now. I've been here before. That's part of the fun of the app, if you enjoy the app. So in this sort of landscape of a lot of folks being, you know, paranoid, with good reason about this kind of tracking data. It's interesting that the two biggest companies that do this are now one company.
Yeah, and it's not only consolidation, but it's consolidation over tracking. So Foursquare's bending over backwards trying to reassure you about this, but because the idea is you're using an app and you're near a store, you're near H&M, and the H&M app suddenly says, like, hey, we see you're near a store, get 20% off, walk in right now, stuff like that. Or you're using an app that has nothing to do with the store, and you see an advertisement for it, and you realize you're near the store, and you walk in. That's the kind of stuff Placed by Foursquare, Placed powered by Foursquare, is going to try to do. And as we know, people love being tracked. They have no problems with
it. And Amazon's probably going to buy them all anyway, so it doesn't matter. But it's the kind of thing, too. Whenever I use my GPS on my phone, there's nothing that drains the battery quicker. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's nothing better than to get your battery life sucked out from localized advertising. That will be even better.
Agreed.
The Wall Street Journal sources say that Apple will soon begin limiting third-party tracking in apps that are in the kids section of the App Store. The information, as reported in a piece by Joanna Stern, about 80 apps she tested, all but one of which included third-party trackers for marketing ads or analytics purposes. MacRumors points out that there are no controls in iOS, at least currently, for limiting the tracking features that are used by apps.
So
that would be a good thing to add for sure.
Yeah. Do you worry about this with kids?
I have my kids' phones locked down, so I know they can't add apps without me, so I know what they're putting on. But at the same time, I don't know exactly what's going on in every single app, if it's getting data or what kind of ads it's putting in. So, yeah, absolutely. I'd love to see a little more control on that for kids' stuff.
I'm sure we'll find out more about this on Monday. Apple's WWDC coming up. We'll get all kinds of details about iOS and macOS there. Meanwhile, engineers at the University of Toronto have developed a more energy efficient and therefore economical way to convert carbon dioxide into products like plastics or jet fuel. The idea is to capture carbon and use it for something else. The existing way...
It's hard to capture carbon in the wild. It's very elusive.
It really is. It just floats away. The existing way involves forcing CO2 through an alkaline liquid solution to create carbonate, a solid, which is then turned into a solid salt. Then that's heated to prepare it for transformation with a bunch of other chemical processes into the end products. But the new method uses a new electrolyzer design to turn the carbonate straight into something called syngas, which is much more complicated to make on the other way. This is a cheap, efficient way to do that. And then syngas can be turned into plastics, jet fuel, etc. The team demonstrated the ability to convert carbonate to syngas at an overall energy efficiency of 35%, and the electrolyzer remained stable for more than 6 days of operation. So this is still a test, but it's potentially a way to take something that people want to do to remove carbon from the atmosphere and do it in a way that's more cost efficient, which is always the biggest hurdle in a lot of these environmental technologies. Yes, Sarah.
Well, no, I mean, it sounds great. All right. So sure. Let's say this all works. In what way will this improve our air quality going forward?
Well, that's a really good question. A lot of math needs to be done on the other end of, okay, if I'm making more plastic, what does that cause what does that do to the environment? Or is it just, we'll make plastic that we would make anyway, but we'll make it this way, which removes carbon dioxide. If you're making jet fuel, you're making jet fuel that is going to put more carbon dioxide into the atmosphere when it's burned. So definitely. Are you making more jet fuel, or does it have an appreciable effect? I mean, the idea behind it's good, which is let's take carbon dioxide out and let's turn it into something useful. But not all of these things are going to be as good at removing carbon dioxide from the atmosphere as others.
So we just need more plants is what you're saying.
Yeah. Can we turn these directly into plants?
Yeah.
Smarter plants. Let's all wear face masks. Problem solved.
Plastic plants could probably be made out of syngas, I'm sure. But yeah, this is actually a pretty exciting advance on a line that a lot of people think at least will be a plank in the ability to counteract the increasing amount of carbon dioxide.
Yeah, and no way am I like, that doesn't sound like it's a good idea. It sounds great. These are one of those science stories where I'm like, okay, but how does it like affect our daily life?
Yeah, and in other words, you might be able to buy some plastic items that get to say like, this item was made by removing carbon dioxide from the atmosphere.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Throughout.com reports that app researcher Jane Munchen Wong noticed a new feature in Spotify called social listening. If you scan a code from a friend, you'll then be able to play songs at the same time as them and tracks to play next and control playback. Everybody's doing it at the same time. You're listening to the same stuff. Once you're connected, your friends will show up in a list that you want to join them with in the future. You can also share links to connect with friends instead of requiring a code to be scanned if you so desire.
So we talked about this in the pre-show as sort of a feature looking for a need. I mean, Chris, do you look at this and go, oh yeah, I've wanted to listen to, you know, playlist with Graham, and we never could until
now. This screams to me like a couple of developers had nothing better to do and money needed to be spent.
You know, it's funny. I was on a plane recently and there were two girls in front of me. They were like, one had one earbud in one ear and they were sharing the same earbuds. They're listening to whatever they're listening to and they're singing, they're laughing, they know the lyrics. And it was like, it was so cute. And so that's what this is supposed to conjure up, right? Like the fun of listening to music that you love with your friends. But I feel like we've been trying to do this for years.
Yeah.
Do you want to watch the same TV show at the same time with your friends on Twitter? Well, there were some third-party apps for that. I don't know where they are now.
Yeah, we used to have that when we had broadcast television on certain times that aired. We turned out we didn't like it as much as being able to watch it whenever we wanted. So yeah. Now we need all these apps and technology to go back to be able to watch something at the same time.
And so many times, like Blu-ray and Xbox have done the like watch with your friends and everybody goes, oh, that's a cool idea. But people don't do it.
No.
And this is music, so maybe it's different. But I feel like the situation you're talking about, Sarah, is the one that people want. I want to be next to my friend listening to the same thing and interacting in person. Not being in the same place, I think, removes some of that need, although I've definitely been involved in role-playing games like World of Warcraft, where people are all listening to the same music being piped into the chat channel or vent or something like that, and everybody has fun doing that. So maybe there's something more with music here. I don't know, I think
what you're talking about too, if you're like sitting next to someone and you want to listen to the same thing, I think the next generation of iPhones is going to have Bluetooth enabled where it'll send the music to multiple AirPods at the same time. Sure. So I think that'll kind of have the same effect.
Yeah. It's probably something we'll hear about on Monday as well.
Yeah. I think we've all gotten used to this, you know, appointment viewing, listening, whatever it is. We're all on our own schedule and that's great. You know, we feel like we have more control than we ever had in the past, you know, unless you're talking about Game of Thrones or something where got all watched at the same time. But I like this in theory. I really sat down and tried to think about, okay, well, when would I use this though? Really? Like, when is it so important that I'm listening to a playlist with, you know, a cherished friend of mine who's not next to me? And I'm not sure I can come up with a lot of scenarios. And it's not because it's not a good idea, but again, I just think we're sort of beyond that.
We will all be doing this for DTNS prep from now on. I'll be creating a playlist that all of us will have to listen to.
Does it include Gloria?
Designed. It's just Laura Branigan's Gloria over and over and over. Hey, folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, be sure to subscribe to dailytechheadlines.com. So, Star Wars Galaxy's Edge is open now in Anaheim, California, but you can't go unless you already have a reservation. That's the case, right, Chris? And until June 23rd, you have to have a reservation.
Yes, and they sold out like within, I think, hours of them becoming available. I mean, the only way you could get one now in that time frame is you have to stay at the hotel, one of the Disney hotels.
And then so that's your backdoor hack, is to try to get a reservation at the hotel and then you can get in?
But again, good luck with that, because I think that's already been hacked as well.
Probably. It's not coming to Orlando until August 29th, and it's set in Blackspire Outpost on Batuu. Chris, you got a chance to walk around, right?
I did. I got to see preview and it was amazing. And one thing I want to start with is that because it was a preview, the technology was actually locked down. So we had to go in, put our phones in a bag and then keep them in our pocket for the entire time. And it was like going back a decade in time. You're in a theme park and you're waiting in line and no one is looking at a device. And it was really, really surreal. Like, oh, people are waiting in line. They're talking to each other, making eye contact. This is insane. So, and a lot of the stuff on Galaxy's Edge, the technology-wise, isn't even online yet. That's what's really incredible. Like, I was talking to a friend of mine who works there, and he was saying that it's going to be rolled out gradually in the press releases, because there's so much that isn't there yet. Like, there's only one ride available right now, the Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run, and the other ride, Rise of the Resistance, isn't available yet. But the technology in this entire land is amazing. One of the things that you notice as soon as you go in is that just because there's one ride, it doesn't matter. The entire land is the attraction. So you can spend your time just exploring every little nook and cranny of the land, and that's what's really going to be entertaining you there. Like right now, there's 4-hour windows that you have to go for the reservations, but we were there for 5 hours and we didn't even see everything. I mean, that's how large. It's 14 acres. Wow. That's massive. It's a massive land. But I'll start with the Millennium Falcon ride because that's the one that's open right now and the new technologies that are in it. You know, we've all been on Star Tours where you actually go in and it's a motion simulator and the ride can change depending on what videos get picked, which is interesting. But this takes it to like a next kind of level thing where you have six people in a in the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon and there's roles that you play. There's two pilots, there's two gunners and two engineers, and each person has something different to do. Like the two pilots are in the front and one of them goes left to right and one of them goes up and down. Mm. So they have joysticks. Although I will say the pilot on the right has the best job because he gets the light speed lever. So when they say jump to light speed, you get to pull the lever and actually go to light speed. So
it sounds a lot like Space Team. Did you ever play Space Team on mobile?
I have not played Space Team, no.
Space Team is you get a bunch of people and you can do it around a kitchen table or at a restaurant or something. Mm-hmm. And everybody gets a different thing and they have to shout commands to each other to get them to do it because everybody has a different role. It sounds like kind of that or that Star Trek simulator kind of situation.
It's definitely got elements of that. The thing, if I did have one little criticism of it, because in that those different roles, some are not as interesting and entertaining as the others. So if you're waiting in line for this ride for like a couple of hours and you get like, say, the engineer, you're not going to enjoy the ride as much as, say, as if you were the pilot. Because you're the pilot, you're moving the ship up and down, left and right. The engineer, basically, when the pilots screw up and they damage the ship, then you're pushing buttons to repair the ship. And the gunners on each side, they each have turrets, but you can actually pick if you want automatic or manual. And the automatic, the guns will fire high, middle, and low, whereas manual, they'll go, you have to pick high, middle, and low as you fire them. The biggest thing that I think could be improved upon, and it would be a simple fix, is the gunners don't get a joystick and a reticle that you would have on a normal like space simulator. So basically, you're looking to the left and figuring out which buttons to press instead of actually looking at the screen in front of you. So it takes your attention away from the actual ride, whereas the pilots are looking straight ahead and they're moving up and down and left and right. So that's one of the things I would say that might have been should be changed or designed a little bit differently. But you know that those are little complaints aside. It's an amazing experience and it's an amazing ride. And it's scalable and it's also customizable. Like how many years were we screaming like, oh my gosh, I wish they would put a new video on Star Tours. This one, they can put stuff in and out on the fly, like different missions and the way you react to the missions. And you could play the same mission and be pilot, gunner, or engineer, and it'll be a different experience.
And it sounds like a big arcade game, really.
It is. It's a giant arcade game, but then it also tracks your progress. And if you have your iPhone, and you have the data pad that it actually turns into, it'll actually track the credits that you'll have won on the ride. Like if you do poorly, you might owe money to Hondo because you've damaged the Millennium Falcon. If you do well, you might turn a profit and he'll respond depending on how well you do. Now, there is one effect that I didn't notice. And I did ride the ride four times. But when you get out, if you damage the Millennium Falcon a lot, like say you do really poorly, apparently like the lights will flicker like in the hallway when you get out. Like there's all these different little technological interactivities that there were some that we didn't even notice. But even like little touches, like you come out of the ride queue and it looks like there's these giant fans spinning like to get the air out of this giant warehouse. When you look a little closer, they're giant screens. Ah. So like, there's little effects here and there. You're like, okay, well, then that means they could change or they could make that. They could do whatever they want on a lot of these things. There's lights and sounds. And, you know, sometimes when you're in the Millennium Falcon holding area, there will be like a short circuit. Then one of you can go to the side and like hit a button and it'll stop. Like there's all these great little touches. But from what I hear, too, with the data pads that weren't available yet, you have to download the Disney Play app before you get there. And this is the one thing they're not telling you. So if you're on your way, make sure you do this. Download the Disney Play app before you get there because it's so big. When you get to the land, it won't download without Wi-Fi. So there's going to be very disappointed people that didn't download it before they got to the park.
That's a good tip. Yeah.
Yeah.
TechCrunch did a write-up on Smuggler's Run. Apparently, it runs on the Unreal Engine, uses a real-time rendering system for multi-projection feedback across the five screens just inside the ride itself. Mm-hmm. The cockpit is powered by a single box machine with eight NVIDIA Quadro P6000 GPUs in a Quadro SLI configuration. And
it felt more like seven, but okay.
And apparently TechCrunch says that the work Disney did on the engine to make the ride work was sent back to Epic Games and will inform how their engine ends up handling multiple GPUs in the future.
There's no question, because it's such an innovative ride and structure. Like, it's all of those things that, you know, you've kind of seen before, but put together in a different way and taken to the next level. You're like, oh, this is what the future of these type of rides are going to be, for sure. Because even just the little details in the cockpit, you feel like you're in the Millennium Falcon. Even though you know there's a screen in front of you, it doesn't matter. You get so immersed in the ride, it feels real.
There probably ought to be guides to tell people, you know, swap. If you like this, you want to be in control, swap to become a pilot, because there might be somebody who's like, that's too much pressure. I just want to be an engineer. That's something I feel like they could work on there.
One of the ways you can do that is not necessarily with the cast members that help you, because before you get in, you basically get these cards that have your roles on them. So they pass out six cards randomly to you and your crew. And then that's where you can kind of swap out. I want to be pilot. I want to be engineer. I want to be gunner. So I would say it's actually in a pretty good order. Like, the pilot's the best, the gunner's the second, the engineer's probably the least fun.
I'm a little suspicious that they made you put your phones away when that's an integral part. A lot of the stuff I've read has been that when you have that Disney Play app running and it gives you your credits, that will also tip off cast members that you did the Millennium Falcon and how well you did.
Yes. And that I've read about too. Like, if you go into the cantina, they might find you and say, all right, well, who was just on the Smuggler's Run? I hear you almost crashed the Falcon. Like, that's definitely part of it. And there's also interactivity, like while you're waiting in line, when you have the Disney app and it turns into a data pad, you can scan cargo crates and find out like what's in them. Like, things like that. You can activate droids, and there's a lot of areas, like I said, we did the preview, so not everything was online. Like, I don't even know how to describe them. They're like just kind of show areas, you could call them. Like, you know, you can't actually go into them, but there's droids, there's a land speeder, but they're all set up for actors and cast members to come in and actually put on little shows that make it like a living, breathing environment. Like, we're just standing in front of a ship and, you know, Kylo Ren walks down and is like looking for a rebel, spy, like things like that to make it like living and breathing, where, you know, in a normal Disney park, this is the character interaction. You have to wait in line, you see Winnie the Pooh in the woods, and then and that's it. But it's not like that at all. This makes you feel like you're actually in the outpost. There's no Mickey's, there's no Minnie's, there's no Disney branding at all.
There's no line to take a picture with Kylo Ren. You just stand in the way.
No.
Well, and Chris, you said you went through this five times, right? Yeah.
Four
times. Okay, so from the first, where, you know, everything's new and exciting, you know, to the fourth time, where you're starting to kind of, okay, there's some unique things that are happening. For a family, let's say my family goes to Disneyland and just does it the once. Do you suggest that you need multiple rides?
Yeah, I have to say it's set up that way specifically.
For
multiple kind of rides through, because, okay, well, I was the gunner, but I'd really want to try the pilot, and I want to see what the engine is. And, you know, it changes on how well you do, like, depending on, you know, you're chasing a train, how many cargo containers you could steal for Hondo. So the actual, because one of the things that kids like to do, and I used to do when I was a kid too, well, I just want to play it again to see if I could beat my score. So that's the other reason to kind of try it again. And it's also, it's built into everything. Like, there's a piece of video game, there's a piece of motion simulator, there's, there's a piece of, a flight simulator. And all those pieces are just so really seamlessly put together that it kind of creates an experience. Because when I first heard, like, oh, well, isn't this just going to be Star Tours and a Millennium Falcon cockpit? And it isn't that at all. The only thing that's the same is that there's a screen and a place to sit. Everything else is different.
Well, thanks to everybody who participates in our subreddit. Unsurprisingly, Star Wars was part of our subreddit this week. You can submit stories and vote on others at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. If you hang out on Facebook, good news for you. We have a group, facebook.com/groups/dailytechnewsshow.
Let's check out the mailbag.
Let's do it. Friendly neighborhood Bill, self-described. Bill wrote in and said, yesterday, Roger mentioned that there were 3 to 4 cross-platform Play Anywhere games. are actually around 75 titles under that umbrella. It's mostly Microsoft published games, but a few third-party titles are in there, including Resident Evil 7, Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, and Middle-earth Shadow of War. There are a bunch of great indie titles in there too. People may want to check out Tacoma and Moonlighter.
All right. Thank you, Friendly Neighborhood Bill. Appreciate extra information there. Before we go, we got to check in with Len Peralta, who has been busily trying to figure out how he could possibly illustrate today's topic. Len, what have you come up with?
And you better believe it was a little bit crazy for me to do. This is my mind is blown. I'm trying to figure out how to get there once it opens up in Orlando. And I guess what really got me is that this is something I've been trying to do since I was a kid, my son's age, 7 years old, right? Ride the Millennium Falcon. And this is going to be me or everybody else who's going to go fly the Falcon at the Galaxy's Edge, you know, just trying to play it cool as best they can. That's pretty much everybody is trying to just play it cool. And they go to the Galaxy's Edge. So I don't know.
One of the things that's great about this picture, too, is it actually shows that, like, the actual Millennium Falcon is there. Like, before you go on the ride, you're just blown away. Like, oh, my God, this is what it looked like in my head the entire time. Right. A life-size Millennium Falcon that will make, no matter what age you are, if you're a Star Wars fan, walking close to that will make you feel like a kid again.
I know. And that's going to blow, I'm trying to make plans to go out there when it opens in Orlando. But this piece actually is going to be in my online store at lenperaltastore.com. Also, if you're a Patreon backer at the $5 level, you have this right now. It is there at my site and you can download it and print it out and get ready to get your tickets to Galaxy's Edge when you go.
Excellent. Thanks, Len. And also thanks to Chris Mancini. So good to have you. And let folks know where they can keep up with the rest of your wonderful work.
Absolutely. It was great to be here. You can hear me every week on the Comedy Film Nerds podcast. And I have a new comic book out right now from Starburns Press. It's called Long Ago and Far Away. If any of your viewers remember, I was on a while back kickstarting it, probably about a year and a half to 2 years ago. It is finally out now. It is a cross between The Narnia, Chronicles of Narnia, and Clerks, about what if adult comic book owners actually went into a fantasy world instead of kids, and they would probably make it worse because they're jerks. So check out Long Ago and Far Away on Comixology.
My interest.
Only $1.99 an issue.
Long Ago and Far Away. So you just go into Comixology and look for it right now.
Yes, please do.
Fantastic. Go check it out, folks. And don't forget, this is the last day of the month. So tomorrow is when we get your patronage support at patreon.com/DTNS. We are just looking pretty good at hitting our monthly goal of one more patron than last month. Thanks to Bruce and Steve for keeping us up above. If you are been on the fence, this is the best time to join and become a member. Get an ad-free RSS feed, special episodes from me. I've got one coming out tomorrow that just digs into ARM. If you want to know what the ARM chip designer is and why it doesn't make chips and how it works with Apple and all that stuff, that'll be coming into the feed at the
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, copyright 2024.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, Visit stripe.com/tapiphone. This podcast is supported by Tools and Weapons, the podcast hosted by Microsoft Vice Chair and President Brad Smith. Right now on a special edition of Tools and Weapons, Brad Smith is sharing a vision for what Microsoft calls the new AI economy. It's an idea rooted in technological revolutions of the past, like the printing press, which created a vibrant marketplace of related innovations, ultimately leading to an explosion of books and readers. But he doesn't just give a history lesson. In the episode, Brad lays out the tangible ways that Microsoft is providing infrastructure and other support to those leading the charge of the new AI economy. And he explains the importance of using that infrastructure to ensure equitable access to AI to people all over the world. To stay current on insights from voices at the center of the conversation on AI, follow or subscribe to Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith wherever you like to listen.
$5 and up level. You got to become a member to get it, though. Patreon.com/DTNS.
If you have feedback for us, our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We're also live Monday through Friday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 20:30 UTC. Find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live.
See you Monday, folks.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.